Hey, not too much. Just still recovering from signing day a little bit.
I tell you what, you know, for you guys in print and that have all those graphics and everything you put into your stories and all that stuff. You've been following this for the last year with all the verbal commitments and everything. That has to be a really, really long day. So I guess, how many stories did you end up writing? What was the word count yesterday?
Oh, gosh, I don't know what the word count, I guess. If I had to estimate, definitely a couple thousand. I don't know for sure, but yeah, it's basically had three stories and then I guess two shared bylines, one with the long bios of each player, player profiles, and then a little conversational thing we did. So yeah, it's been this whole week's been pretty, the last week or so has been pretty busy with you know, Kenny Saylor's passing and just some other little bits of breaking news that you can't really control. So yeah, ready for a good sleep here at some point in the next week.
Well, you got to, the Cowboys have a bye week coming up, or a week where they don't play a midweek game next week, so there you can get some rest there, Ryan.
Yeah, definitely. My folks are actually coming out, so get a little bit of rest and maybe some skiing in, and probably hit up some downtown restaurants in Laramie they like, so it'll be a good time.
Good stuff. Ryan Holmgren joining us here on the program. Ryan, speaking of signing day, you know, we had Coach Bull on. We had one of the players. We had Chandler Garrett on the show. We had a Rivals recruiting analyst to kind of analyze this recruiting class. You know, it seemed like they got what they wanted for the most part. A couple D commits there late in the game. But overall, it seemed like Coach Bull and everybody seemed pretty pleased with what they were able to bring into Laramie.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're a little bit light maybe in the defensive line department, but other than that, I think they had someone at every position, and then they ended up, they're going to use Alex Stewart from Santa Margarita, California, as a tight end rather than a defensive end, and he was a three-star defensive end, depending on which outlet you look at. And so, you know, they maybe they got two spots left. I think they'll probably end up maybe taking a defensive end and a defensive tackle here in the next few months at some point. But I think they got what they want, and they got I think this is probably what you're going to see for most of the recruiting classes. This is, I think, for the most part, what Craig Bull had at North Dakota State, where it was very balanced for the most part, and that's what they want to build, is that balance and enough depth where they can bring in most of these kids and have them redshirt 1 year. Because as you mentioned yesterday, you know, if you play them as a true freshman, you're often trading their least productive year for their most productive year, or their vice versa. So you're not getting them as a fifth-year senior. So I think you know, as they continue to recruit here in years to come, they'll continue to have balanced recruiting classes. And once these players start to develop at UW, they won't have to play right away as true freshmen. So.
You're right. We had Sean Wick on the show to start off, and I know you had a story out on Sean coming back, you know, hoping to get that medical waiver to come back and play another season with the Cowboys. And you know, he was very upfront about everything. You know, with all we know about head injuries and things like that, I mean, this is quite the risk that he is taking. You know, missing so many games last year because of the hits to the head and the concussion issues and concussion symptoms and stuff like that. What do you think of the? And I'm asking your opinion now. What do you think of the risk that Sean is willing to take for this program?
Yeah, I think it's really scary, and I think he's going about it the right way to some degree. Where when I talked to him, he said, you know, he's going to try to not lead with his head as much and take some more precautions, but that's football. I mean, if you're a running back, you kind of have to lead with your head. You want to be the player that, if he's a big physical running back like he has been, you want to be the guy who delivers those blows to the defense. You don't want to be the one who's not willing to deliver a blow, and then you're getting, you know, then maybe yourself, you're almost even more vulnerable to taking a big hit. So it's kind of a scary situation. And for me, I mean, I've tried to follow a lot of this stuff with former NFL players, ending up with CTE, a very high percentage of them, and that is no joke. And I've seen the movie Concussion, but you know, I've tried to, you know, sometimes that can be, you know, made more for Hollywood. I think he did a pretty good job of portraying the situation, but I've tried to read some of the, you know, medical reports and scientific research, and it is troubling. I mean, I'm not at a point in my life where I have kids, but when I do, if I do, I don't know if I would want them to play football, because it is it's a tough thing right now, and it's a credit to, I guess, the players. Certainly, it's courageous for them, a guy like Sean Wick, to want to do that. But for me, I mean, I wish him the best. I hope whether he plays or not, I hope he doesn't have any issues going forward. And a lot of times those don't really start to come until years down the road. But I hope for his future that he doesn't have any issues like that.
Ryan Holmgren joining us here in the Sports Zone. Ryan, to Cowboy basketball now, how perplexing was that second half down at Air Force? Because the way they played for the most part in the first half, I mean, they built a 12-point lead there. That half-court shot may have swung momentum a little bit, but you would think they'd still be able to come out and play things. I mean, Alan Herndon was really non-existent in the second half. Just an odd game, and really not a very good loss. I mean, no losses are good losses, but the way they were dominating the first half, that was really a bad loss for them.
Yeah, and you know, they were actually up 14. It was 36-22 with a minute and 2 seconds left in the first half, and then 7-0 run for Air Force. You know, you mentioned that, you know, the last 3 points came on a banked and a half court shot, but Wyoming had the chance to have the last possession of the half, and Josh Adams turned it over, gave it pretty much right to Hayden Graham, just lost the handle on it, and he threw up a half court shot, and then sometimes those things go in. They seem to go in more times in your home arena than they do on the road. And so when you're on the road, you can't have some of those things, and they just came out flat in the second half. But it is it's just really confusing why they've been losing these games, because if you go back these last five games, they've been up, they're up 8 points even in the first half against Boise State, lost that one. The game before, they were up 10 points early in the second half against Nevada, and of course that was just a whole debacle, but they were up 10 points and lost. And then they're up 12 points at Fresno State in the first half and lost. They did hold a 15-point lead against Colorado State, although it got close at the end, and then up 14 against Air Force and just haven't been able to hold it. So it's not like they're just getting blown out and they're playing terrible 40 minutes. It's like they're playing really well and then suddenly it stops. And so it's got to be perplexing for coaches too, of what is exactly switching and how to, you know, keep that momentum going and not let the foot off the gas, so to speak.
Ryan Holmgren here in the Sports Zone. I found it interesting when Larry Scheidt made comments after the game towards, you know, getting beat in the interior and Air Force doing a good job inside against Wyoming, when, you know, Barnes and Naughton for the second game against Air Force didn't play a single minute. Is there anything to that? You know, I know they like the matchups, but you know, for Scheidt to mention that, it seems kind of counterproductive, I guess, to say that and not play your fives inside.
Yeah, and he said, you know, the troubling thing for him was that they were getting out rebounded. I mean, they lost the rebounding battle by one, but for, I think, with a few minutes left, it was maybe an 8-point rebound margin. But he said it wasn't like the Air Force players were above the rim grabbing these rebounds like they were some, you know, UNLV or some, you know, Cal with some huge players. It was like they were losing some of these loose balls and some of those. And so that was what was troubling for him. But I did ask him if he considered to play Naughton or Barnes, and he told me that basically the rationale was with that Princeton offense that Air Force runs, which is essentially predicated on back cuts and patience, that it's a tough defense or it's a tough offense for big guys like Naughton and Barnes to defend, so that they didn't take him off the bench. Basically, that was the reason. Maybe when Josh Adams went to the bench with about 7.5 minutes left with his fourth foul, I might have put in, if I was him, just to try it, because the momentum already wasn't in their favor, and obviously didn't end up working out. But just with Adams off the floor, it might have helped to have a different dynamic, at least just to level the playing field for a little while, because with Josh on the bench, I think they were outscored 7-2 or 9-2, and that was a little bit of a turning point in the game.
Always good to catch up with you, Ryan, provided the roads are open. We'll see you on Saturday when the Cowboys host Utah State. Always good to talk to you. Thank you.
All right, good deal. Take care.
Take it easy.